RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We're at RPGLL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpglpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com.
Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. And this is finally, at long last, our last episode about our Vampire the Masquerade campaign. So, and what you'll hear when we kick it over to the pre-recorded show, you will hear the retrospective, the post-mortem. Nathan and Chris, who play Eduardo and Zep, will give me feedback on the entire campaign. But before we get there, Brian, this has been kind of a whirlwind of releasing an episode a day, and this is the eighth day of that. We're pre-recording all this, so we have no idea how this is going to land, if there's a splash, if there's not a splash. But I do want to comment for listeners, there's a good chance, if you haven't seen updates from us in a while and suddenly you've seen eight in a row and maybe you're listening to this episode, we should tell you that those alerts over the last 7 days were not fake. We really have released eight episodes, one a day. So if you want to get caught up in the Vampire campaign, you need to go back to episode RPGLL 105, the eighth session of Vampire the Masquerade. And that is the one we posted 7 days ago.
Yeah, and one thing I want to point out as well, you know, it's been a while since we've posted the podcast prior to this flurry. But, you know, keep in mind that our content's evergreen. So if this is your first time listening, there's a lot of stuff that we've posted over the last few years that you can go back and listen to. And content is still good. And if you have a friend who in this, you know, pandemic who's gotten into, you know, tabletop or RPGs, send the link along to them. Let them know about the show. There's a ton of stuff that, you know, they might be able to get some use from.
Yeah, we should talk about what's upcoming as well. And I'm not going to lie, this is not a restart of RPGLL. We're not going to go back to weekly episodes. We just don't game often enough for that. In fact, I haven't gamed in quite some time. Ooh, ask me, Brian, about Martin's game, and I'll catch you up on that briefly. But I do. So these episodes will be out and done. Huge weight off my chest. Oh, so happy to get the Vampire campaign out there and done. Brian, Mike, and I recorded Terror on the Kitaro, an actual play. We recorded it even before we went to Mace, for me to play that game at Mace. We have an episode of the podcast about the Mace game, but Brian, Mike, and I had recorded our playtest in D&D 5th edition before Mace. I would like to edit that and release that. This Vampire campaign that we just listened to, I'm working on a PDF of that campaign. I'm going to put it out on DriveThruRPG for free. You know, follow our Twitter, follow our Facebook, look for an announcement of that upcoming. I'm going to edit the playtest that we did of Terror and Kitaro. I'm going to get that out. I want to get a PDF of that adventure out for free, probably on basicfantasy.org, where the Basic Fantasy role-playing game is released. There's more stuff I'm going to do with RPGLL. RPGLL is not dead. But we reached this point, Brian, where we caught up to all the games we'd ever played. And I didn't want to do a bunch of fake content. I didn't want to rehash content. I would rather do less frequent content that's still good and new and fresh and different with something different to say.
We have a ton of content out there, and we can curate it in a way that's useful, you know, even long after we've recorded it. So, we're going to record more episodes. We actually have another episode that we're going to post soon as well. One actually that I thought was lost. Dusty and I, and Mike as well, had planned for like a couple of years to go to a used bookstore and look through the RPG section and sort of talk about what we found. And it ended up just being the two of us. And I recorded it on my phone. And that phone, like the week after we recorded, that phone got destroyed or something. I forgot. That was like over a year ago. And I thought it was lost, but the cloud backup saved me. I was actually able to find it just a few months ago, and I was so excited about that. So I'm in the process of editing that, and we'll post that here in a week or two as well, I think. And that was a lot of fun. And it goes into, if you listen to my Transformers podcast and other stuff, it goes into like general collecting mindsets and things like that I think crossovers pretty well with sort of our RPG habit that we've developed over time. So,
well, let's without further ado get right into, I'm so relieved to say, the very last episode of the RPGLL Vampire the Masquerade campaign. Let's talk about this campaign. This is the vampire campaign I've always wanted to run, where you're secretly children of Cain. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought in vampire lore, nothing about vampire society seems sustainable. The choice I gave you mm-hmm. about how to end vampire society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could have narrated that so many different ways. I mean, I hope that was clear. Absolutely. That was wide the hell open.
Oh, yeah, we could do whatever the hell we wanted. But it was very apparent when we were talking with King that he was dissatisfied with the vampires. I mean, look, in a few short months, we were able to pretty much get to be like, you know, top 10 in command of a city.
To be fair, by the game's own logic, we're second generation. They're
right.
8, 10, something.
Therefore,
like that.
Therefore, we should be.
Yeah, we should be.
That's what we're playing, yeah. is you guys ramping up your second generation powers. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it just speaks to the fact that, God, what a bunch of dweebs.
They value stasis. They value the status quo. They value the status quo above all else. You don't know anyone else like that? That's the nature of bureaucracy. Bureaucracy values the status quo. Running a vampire campaign in the world of White Wolf's Vampire and not running Gehenna, I just couldn't do it. I had to run Gehenna.
Especially, I think everyone has to.
I think
to.
It's great.
Yeah. I had to make you guys the children of Cain. I had to do that.
Well, like I said, it was the first episode of Cain, right?
So with that, Nathan. How early on was it you figured that out?
Oh, I just kind of guessed that was what you're going for initially. Because that's like, I don't say it's
called it.
It's the obvious thing about it being like a bad thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it. It's like, he's not run this one before. Yeah, we're probably doing the guy. Like, yeah, you played the games. Cain chops that nonsense, I believe. I need to finish it at some point.
Yeah, Cain, what he's talking about, Chris, mm-hmm. is that in Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, the game, the one that's out right now, mm-hmm. the one that's been out for years. There are hints that Cain is in it. And I won't tell you which character, and it's kind of obvious, but there are a lot of hints that Cain is in it. In fact, when you look in, when you open up the game files and you look at the audio, everything that character says, the audio files are labeled Cain 1, Cain 2, Cain 3.
Yep.
So.
That's a nice Easter egg.
He's heavily hinted at to be Cain.
But also, like, you haven't been running vampire games. I mean, you have knowledge of the universe, but not at such a depth that, at least in my experience, it seems like the more obvious thing to do is hit the high notes, things like,
My knowledge of the vampire world is 85% of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, 100% of the 1992 Aaron Spelling TV show, of this, is it 32-page rule book? Let's see here. The contents of this 24-page rule book. And a little bit of reading stuff online and wikis about the various clans. Like, I'm not coming to this with a ton of lore, and I'm sure people... Yeah, right. Like, Cain and the Sun, it's hugely problematic for the lore, because in the Book of Nod, Cain was cursed with the Sun Affliction. Cain is just as Sun Afflicted as you are. But in my mind, it's been 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Dude's wearing some like SPF 10,000 or like right. he's figured he's found something out. He's wearing a hoodie.
Like the saliva from a frog in the Amazon or something.
Maybe
he's
totally covered in asbestos clothing and he's casting an illusion on himself to make him look like himself. Yeah. Who knows? He would have figured something out in 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. In my mind.
But
I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the characters that we created. I mean, I thought that you and I, the first session, I don't think I did a good enough job really kind of separating my character from yours. But as we went, we became independent characters.
I wasn't aware I had a character.
With the same thought.
Eduardo?
Yeah.
what's a large character? I couldn't tell you.
Is that problematic, or is that okay for you?
Worked well enough so far.
Fair enough. All right, any feedback? What should I have changed?
I would have liked, and this is just me, I would have liked finding out that we were, you know, who we were, ending it almost the exact same way we did, except for maybe having like a little fight montage afterwards so we can flex a little.
We kind of did that, though, didn't we?
We sort of did. You can talk about that if you want. You're now.
Yeah, but that's where I'm like, all of a sudden, so we have to go cleanse some places, right? So, like, there's a montage in the background of the credits of us just going in, breaking into different random, you know.
Let's be clear. This could take hundreds of years.
Oh, absolutely.
To root out all the Camarilla and to root out all the Sabbat.
Absolutely.
And, by the way, there's another campaign sort of hidden away in this that I don't think I'll ever run because I'm not terribly interested to run it. The Sabbat have been preparing for exactly this.
Oh, yeah.
The whole nature of the Camarilla and the Sabbat are that the Camarilla think that the Antediluvians are mythology and that Cain's a myth. And the Sabbat are like, no, it's true, and we've got to prepare for this coming war. The Antediluvians are going to wake up and eat us all. And that's the core nature of the Sabbat. That's the core belief of the Sabbat, is that they're preparing for Gehenna. So you're going to have a tough fight on your hands, because far as the Sabbat are concerned, Gehenna's finally here, and they're going to be using every flamethrower, nuclear weapon, bombs. Like, when they think you're in a city, I'm spoiling this because I'm not actually going to run this campaign. If they get word that you're cleansing a city, they're going to set off a nuke there.
Well, save us the trouble.
They might set up nukes in tons of cities and just sit on suicide switches and just wait for the word that you've arrived and set off a nuke. And, they'll kill millions of humans, but they might kill the two of you.
That's cool.
Fire kills vampires.
Is it a dead man switch if they're already dead?
I don't know.
Or is it inherently a dead man switch?
I think it's
interesting.
And I don't know how that story ends, by the way. I don't. Maybe the Sabbat do kill you with a nuke.
Maybe. Or we realize that after trying to attack one of their groups, and we take possession of various people and use them instead.
The point is,
so we never actually go anywhere.
You have hundreds, if not thousands, of years ahead of you of cleansing the earth of vampires.
Maybe we can buddy up with
werewolves.
Or humans.
That's an interesting notion. Just showing up.
They're vampires. Don't worry about us. They're vampires.
1995. Who was that? Was that Clinton? That was Clinton.
Yes, that was Clinton.
Showing up in the Oval Office in 95.
Yep.
And just tell them, like smarten them up.
Yeah. We need to kill the vampires.
Let's talk about the system a little bit.
I like the system a lot.
Do you?
Yes. It's confusing as hell to begin with because there's so much role-playing versus fighting. But once you get into the fighting, it becomes super easy. The only thing I don't like is the little amount of health that you get. So if you hit, you're going to do some damage.
Yeah, that's what bothers me is combat.
Yeah.
Let's talk about combat first, right? In the very first session, you guys should have TPK'd.
Yeah.
That one vampire and those two ghouls, they got the drop on you.
Are we keeping kayfabe here?
No, we're not. Now that
because we did TPK.
Now that it's the last episode, we can tell the story.
It's all a lie.
It was all a lie. Everything after the first session was a lie.
It's all a dream.
Because we
like
TPK'd.
Like Dallas.
Yeah.
That one vampire killed the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like,
yeah.
We're going to redo that.
First session, huh?
First session, very first session.
Whoops.
I didn't realize how lethal the combat was.
Trent.
And here's what combat seems
Cain
to come down to.
Cain would have been so disappointed.
Combat comes down to one thing. Who gets the first hit?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it. That's all there is.
Mm.
Unless you can soak, and unless you can dodge.
Yeah, you soak it like crap.
That is one thing that we didn't
To be fair, yeah, we didn't do anything like dodge.
We didn't do dodge.
Well, dodge takes your whole turn. Dodge takes the whole action. Yeah. Like, if you dodge, you can't do anything but dodge.
But at least you can
grab dodge. We did do grab, like, once.
You did.
Yeah.
So the system isn't very well suited for combat.
No.
I'll say that. I like the flavor of the disciplines, but you guys didn't seem to use yours. Like, I was constantly reminding you. Do you want to use a discipline? Have you activated your disciplines? What disciplines are you going to use? Are you thinking about your disciplines?
That was more about imbuing.
Yeah,
used the hell out of them, but I had to remember to imbue. Mm. But, like, I love the dominate. I used the dominate several times.
You did.
Yep.
And then the obfuscate, I just couldn't find a good time to use obfuscate.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. other than the bar. Because otherwise, it was the I didn't get to use too many of them.
What do you think, Nathan?
Like from the get-go, I was just like, I'm hit this once, maybe twice, and it's gonna be probably gonna fix itself just fine. So why deviate? I tore the head off the, now granted that was me imbued up the yin yang, but even like every such porous is me hitting once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
And then due to the nature of the fall off of health versus
even when I remembered Soak with the Ventru.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he still failed.
And with his advanced fortitude, he had 2 additional hit points. Mm-hmm. But with your 10 damage from all your stuff.
Too bad.
And if you guys had taken out a Gangrel and if you had gotten Protean and you'd gotten the Protean claws.
Which I did.
You'd have been dealing +1 aggravated damage.
Sometimes, yeah.
No, that was Protean.
Yes, sir. Yes, you're
Protean.
Yes.
You've gotten Protean with the claws.
Mm-hmm.
You've been dealing aggravated damage.
And we could have, we just didn't.
Well, you have it now. You have it all now.
But I mean, like, it was.
Was the story satisfying?
Yes. Once we realized, like in session 2, that it was vampire bingo. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's do the sessions real quick, right? Session 1 was. Oh shit, you're vampires. Let's mm-hmm. do a little bit of acclimating to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And let's complete this one blood hunt to prove that we're not fledglings, even though you actually are.
Yeah.
Totally. That was session 1.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel underpowered? Did it feel tough?
Absolutely.
Did it feel.
Yeah. I mean, we TPK.
Did you put together that you were children of Cain in the first session? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had that conversation after the second one.
So I think we had a conversation, but I had suspicion. We're doing Lord of the Rings games. Which one is the Hobbit?
Got it. You suspected it immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. So you suspected it immediately. Second session. Second session was, I think, the worst session. Heading up to Mooresville.
I
liked
that one.
To do an errand. I liked making up the Sabbat and making up the Sabbat stats and all that. That was enjoyable. The only thing I shouldn't have done is I should not have done the Wink Wink Charlotte and the Wink Wink Mooresville.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a bit kooky. Out there,
yeah,
silly.
But it made it more relevant.
Before Concord.
Yeah,
maybe.
But it. I'll say this. It made it in my... I was able to picture the type of location, right? A suburb. But not a close suburb, a la Matthews or Pineville. A further out suburb, a la Mooresville.
Got it.
So that it helped give me spatial awareness.
I said, like, well, this race shop just went literally up the road from here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like that session just because that was the first time that we could go out and just try
the powers.
Yeah. Try to wreck stuff.
That's true. I need to go back and listen to all the episodes and cut them together, so maybe I'll find that there's some magic to that second episode that I forgot about. So third episode is you chasing down that Malkavian.
Oh yeah.
And eating her and her friends. So I meant it to be kind of this chase. And this interesting thing.
So the one went to the park and dumped everybody in the car. And
yep.
I enjoyed that. Just got up with sunlight. I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I hope it was clear by that point that I was giving you a ton of leeway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had done the mission in Mooresville, and I was like, I'm not going to do missions this tight. I'm going to let them go wherever they want, do whatever they want a little more. It'd make it a little more sandboxy.
With that one, the only thing I if we went back, not to how we were today, but how we were in, like, the second session with the third session, we probably would have been a little more reserved. But I think at that point, we both knew kind of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
We had all these powers. Let's just go wreck stuff.
Vampire
and try to do it. Right. Whereas the second session was more of, we're testing them out. Session 3 was, okay, we got these. Let's go do this.
When did we start using the phrase vampire bingo?
Session 2.
That's tough. Yeah.
All right, session 4, the Enclave.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun one.
Mm.
It was meant to be the big reveal about Cain.
Right.
Now, obviously, Nathan knew. Did you know?
I had, yeah.
We talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
Okay.
But what I liked most about that is if you look back at all of the sessions, they were all in a different type of location. Right? It was all different scenery. So it helped make it not boring. Because even though you have powers, even though you're going up against X amount of people, if you're in, like, you're in the throne room, or you're out in a field, or you're in Mooresville. If you do that every time, it gets boring. Whereas in this case, I mean, we started out waking up from being bitten at a bar, right? Then we're hunting down somebody in our neck of the woods, Mooresville. Then we're going back to Charlotte, and we're going like what I can only imagine is kind of like a greenway in front of a building. Then we're going into an enclave. Then now we're finally going out. We're going to a museum. So I think the placement.
And we burned the building down.
And we burned the building down. That's right. But the placement of that really helped make it so that it felt different every time. And also, I mean, let's face it, like especially the enclave, that's some Blade stuff, right? Like
lots of vampires together in space being served blood drinks. Yeah.
It was cool.
I like that.
One of the main things I wanted to get out of this was, so the whole point of this game is a lot of the lore and the Camarilla and the clans. And even though I didn't do a tremendous amount of reading, I wanted to expose you to enough of the Tremere, the Ventru, the Malkavian, the Nosferatu, I can't even think of the Bruja, the Gangrel. I wanted to expose you to enough
Tremere,
of that that you sort of got to know the lore of the world a little bit.
And the fact that you listed out and had pictures
before you embodied Apocalypse.
But the way that you listed out the Primogens and kind of explained what each of them were and each one of them could do, that was really cool. That was an easy way to get more accustomed to the world, and I mean, also made it easier to pick out who to do Vampire Bingo on, but it was cool.
All right. Couple more questions to finish up. We're going to do a start, stop, continue on the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to do a SWAT on the system, just real quick. All right, let's do start, stop, continue. So start. What did I not do at all that you would wish you would have seen?
The werewolves are nonsense would have been interesting. But
werewolves and mages and the rest of the world
The rest of that would be interesting.
That's fair. That's fair feedback. There's a lot of World of Darkness left unexplored.
I think it's fine with that. It would have been neat. Did you know there were werewolves all that nonsense?
I did not.
Okay.
Well, for me, one of the things was to see what the vampires themselves could do. So, like, we did a lot of fighting against the vampires, but it would have been neat to kind of get, like, an awe moment of them destroying somebody, like, killing somebody else. So that way it would have made their powers seem a little bit less attainable.
I didn't build them up to be threats.
Yeah.
No.
That's fair. All right. All right, that was the start. What's the stop?
The power creep, almost.
Really? Stop the power creep?
Yeah, kind of. There was no challenge.
Yeah.
But beyond that very first sentence, everyone's sense has been, and I'm fine with it, don't get me wrong. I punched
good. Worked out for us.
I'm playing a fighter.
No, yeah, you're right.
And that's fine by me, to be clear.
I wanted Tirza to be super badass.
Who?
Exactly.
She got one punch.
Yeah.
They all did.
Badass. And you had gained so many powers that it just wasn't that hard.
Oh, is that the one you killed right at the end? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, she was the sheriff.
Hmm.
But she was very menacing and ominous.
To begin. Yeah, you sold that.
I should have stepped outside the system to give her more stuff. But I worry, whenever I break the rules like that, and all of a sudden all the rules don't apply to the GM, he can do whatever the hell he wants, then I feel like I'm cheating.
Now,
but it works
come on
for
now.
Us, and
half,
it works against
half HP,
us.
Double the attack power, or whatever
was.
Honestly, though, sometimes it works for us, like the first game and the would-be TPK, and then sometimes it works against us.
Mm.
Like if she would have had more, or because she didn't even soak. We forgot about soaking for her.
Yeah, I know.
But we also didn't dodge, and the way that I kind of looked at it was,
if my system mastery had been higher, maybe she'd have been more of a threat. But to Nathan's point, maybe the Diablery rules should be a little less extreme.
Right.
Like maybe that you can only improve one trait per vampire.
Yeah.
Maybe you get fewer dots of abilities and skills.
Because we would have just killed more.
I almost think if we'd gone some other than Bruja to begin with, this has been very different.
Because you had the potence.
Because I had the potence from the get-go. Yeah. And again, we all caught that point. But
if we would have gone up against Tremere to begin with, oh, dude.
Yeah, probably. But because the system is based around degradation of ability based on your health, you get a good punch in to begin with, you're now at a
huge disadvantage. You get a minus two to your rolls.
So it goes back to whoever attacks first.
It's a death spiral.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a death spiral, and the first hit tells. And I don't like that. I would change that somehow. I'm not sure how.
I did like it, but only because we hit first.
Yeah. There's that. Okay, combat. So stop is combat, and I agree with that. Continue. What did you like about this game?
The powerful thing. I also enjoyed the thing. You probably should stop.
Yeah.
Because it's not sustainable enjoyment. I enjoyed it when they scope with this game.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So for five sessions, it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond that.
Five sessions. Oh, I'm just going to delete this problem. 13 sessions in. Okay.
It's like playing Doom with the cheat codes. Like, that's really
completely valid.
Fun. Yes. It's really fun for
the first world
couple
or two.
Hours.
Exactly.
Fair.
Like Duke Nukem or something. Yeah, but...
All right, SWAT on the system. What are the strengths of this quick start system, this D6-based system?
Only D6.
And no, I like that.
Yeah. Only D6, and only four traits that you have to... that are very present that you have to use to roll against.
I like that you said very present, because we used all these traits.
Mm-hmm.
We used psychic when the game dictated it, but we used mental, social, and physical quite a bit.
Yep.
I dug that the traits were very intuitive as far as which one we should use.
There was no real overlap.
Yeah. So strengths, the traits I like, the dice I like. So dice, strength.
Yep.
Traits, strength. What other strengths? Any?
Just the empowerment stuff we've already talked about.
The what now?
The empowerment stuff we've already talked about.
Yeah, the discipline.
Within the scope and context of this game.
The empowerment stuff?
Yeah.
Power creep.
Disciplines.
Yeah.
Not my campaign. Strengths of just the system itself.
Mm.
The Diablery rules, to be clear, Nathan, I made those up.
Oh, okay.
The way this game works, I don't even know that there are level up mechanics in this booklet. I don't think there are. This booklet is intended for, you get a couple of disciplines.
Yeah.
Couple. And that's it. That's who you are for the campaign.
Nothing you got it.
All right. Yeah. Weaknesses. What's inherent to this game that's weak? And I can go first if you want. Or you
the health and blood.
Death spiral.
Yeah, combat. The death spiral makes combat. The way that health... I don't think health and blood. I think blood's fine. I like blood that... If you weren't playing a Diablery game, blood would have been more of a problem for you guys.
Right.
Health was a huge problem.
Yeah.
Health and the death spiral. I would almost double everyone's hit points... And I would probably do away with the penalties for the damage.
I like that there are penalties, but I would say, I mean, just double and keep the penalties.
Mm, that's fair.
I even space them out. I'm totally down for that to happen, but you almost have to have an advanced fortitude, have those extra two plus, to have a little wiggle room there.
Yeah, one hit kills are way too possible.
Once again, great if I'm doing that.
Yeah, great if you're doing them. So weakness is definitely the health system.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think we can limit it to the health system. I would say another weakness is the dice mechanic. I actually ran the odds on the dice mechanic. So the odds are amazingly stacked in favor of you succeeding most of the time. So I'm looking here at the difficulties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Difficulty 2, rolling one dice, you have an 83% chance of hitting that. And then it goes up from there. Of course, the more dice you roll, but
does that play into the inherent limits of the system? Then
it plays into how easy it is to succeed.
Right, but if you don't succeed, it's dire.
When you don't succeed, it's dire. When I call for a roll, though, you mostly always succeed.
True,
dude. With a difficulty of 3, at 3 dice, you are going to hit that 96% of the time.
Mm. How many is it with 10 dice, Dusty?
99.999998.
That's odds.
Anyway, the odds are stacked in favor of succeeding. Like you succeed a lot. When you roll dice, you succeed, basically.
I guess
failures were pretty rare. Yeah, it felt like the dice were almost irrelevant.
Well, it's like
almost.
Free social after we got presents, and I'm pretty sure
exactly.
We implemented that wrong if I vaguely recall reading through that.
Yeah.
But whatever, that was 2x. Like, okay, whatever.
All right, weaknesses. Opportunities. Now, remember that opportunities and threats are external to the system. So, and they're kind of weird to talk about, right? Because the strengths and weaknesses make sense. Opportunities. What opportunities does the system have? Like, I think the system is one, and Modiphius Publishing agrees with me, is ripe for coming out again, because this made a huge splash in the 1990s. It had a TV show, for God's sakes.
It did.
Huh. I said that's part of my familiarity with it, is that Aaron Spelling.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No, Kindred the Embraced. Hmm. I have the whole thing on DVD. I've watched it all. I don't recommend it.
And you like Man of Steel, and that's saying something.
I like Kindred the Embraced.
Or was it Batman vs. Superman you liked, or Man of Steel?
I kind of liked both. I like Man of Steel. I did not like Batman.
I kind of liked both.
Okay.
Having said all that,
it's only half judging, right?
The show, I really like the show. I can't honestly recommend it to other people, but I really like it personally. Opportunities with the Twilight stuff, and I mean, it's the time is right for some more vampire storytelling. Yeah. The issue was in the early mid 90s when this came out, vampires were still monsters, and now they're so approachable.
Interview with a Vampire came out, and it made it more human.
I think Interview with a Vampire helped inspire this probably. But
when did Dracula Dead and Loving It come out?
Oh, God.
I have seen that.
All right, threats. I think Apocalypse World does a lot of the stuff as well or better.
Hmm. I don't know.
We've played it. World of Dungeons is based on Apocalypse World. I think Apocalypse World-based systems, like an Apocalypse World Vampire the Masquerade system, could be incredibly interesting. All right. I think that's enough of the retrospective. Thank you guys for a fun campaign. I learned a lot. This is the campaign I've wanted to run for a long time, and you guys let me do it. So I appreciate it.
This has been an RPG Lessons Learned. Da, 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 da.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them Lessons Learned, and we're sharing ours with you.
I'm not going to jump into this one because I have a genuine question. Is the sire related to being in Charlotte? Is it like Richard Petty or something?
It's not. It's actually the biblical Cain.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
It is, yeah.
You know what would be cool? If it was Abel and he somehow faked his death.
Ooh, I didn't think of that. Yeah. But doesn't fit in with the vampire lore.
No, it doesn't. Maybe you could do a sequel to this and Abel had faked his death. And he's like an anti-vampire.
Ooh.
He like gives you blood.
He's a paladin.
He could be a paladin. Yeah. Okay.